welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to start with a passage in Joshua chapter 1, where the Lord is commanding Joshua. He says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning neither to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Praise God. This is a powerful, think about this. These guys have been, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And he's getting ready to say, "I know you've been around this mountain a few times, but things are going to change. Things are going to be different. This isn't going to be like the last 40 years. You're getting ready, and I'm preparing your heart to go in and take that promised land." And he said, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I know you've known me here. I know you've known me in this wilderness. But when you go there, I'm going to be there with you. No matter where you go, I am with you wherever you go. So you're not leaving my place. You're not leaving me. You're just going to the place that I've commanded you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." But it's interesting to see what he says. "This is my command." That's a pretty powerful statement. You may have heard that the phrase, "fear not," is in the scriptures. I've heard exactly 365 times or something like that. It's well over 300 times. The phrase "fear not," that reference to "fear not," is in and throughout the Word of God. And here we see it commanded, "fear not." And this morning, we're going to talk about and minister along the lines of this, the decision to fear not. The decision to fear not. Fearing or not fearing is not about, kind of doing the T-chart, the pros and the cons, and having more pros than cons, and so I can mentally, rationally believe, okay, I guess I don't have to be afraid because the good outweighs the bad, and therefore I'm not afraid. You can't just talk yourself into not being afraid. It's going to be a decision. At some point in time, it's going to be a decision. Because I don't care how you T-chart it out, there's an enemy out there. There is an enemy out there who roars and, like I said, you teach out the pros and the cons. Should I make this decision? You see all the pros, but there will be a roars of cons and things constantly out there. But what about that? As long as you're in your head, you cannot truly fear not. It takes something bigger than just mentally reasoning it out. You think of that Psalm 91 guy. He said, "I'm not going to be afraid of anything. Pestilence at night, or the arrow that flies by day, 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. I won't fear anything." Think about that. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and he still likes his odds. We're out of the realm of odds. That guy's operating from a decision. So this morning, we're going to look at the decision to fear not. It is a decision, and really just two aspects of this decision to fear not. First of all, we're going to recognize that it's a spiritual decision, okay? We know there's something different about us than the world. The scripture puts it this way, Paul writing to the Corinthians. He said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Okay? We see that when we received the Spirit of God, we didn't receive the spirit of the world. You know, there's a spirit of the world. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The world is swaying together, and you better sway, because if you don't sway, you're going to be in big trouble. There's a spirit of this world. We didn't receive that spirit, but we did receive the spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That means we know about things that the natural man who's only operating with the spirit of the world doesn't know. We know some things. We understand truth and reality that the natural man doesn't understand. And when you begin to talk about the decision to fear not, you got to realize this is a spiritual decision. It's not a natural decision. In fact, if you're over here making the decision to fear not and try to make the natural man happy all at the same time, it's going to be very frustrating. This is where you got to decide who's the Lord of your life. Your decision to fear not is not going to be based on just natural knowledge. This is the problem with natural, the restriction and limitation of just natural psychology and psychiatry from a purely natural man side of the equation, because they're only working with natural things. In fact, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to them. They don't recognize spiritual things. In fact, there is almost an anti-spiritualness about it, as there's a sense of competition with spiritual counsel versus natural counsel. So you can all almost in a natural side see a jadedness towards spiritual things. So if you're going to walk in the counsel of the godly and spiritual things, there's things that you've got to be able to consider, because to fear not is a decision and it requires a spiritual decision. You'll notice that spiritual guy is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural guy's over here just comparing natural with natural. Spiritual guy has other stuff he's working with. He's not just working with, I feel, I think, I like, and the last time that happened to me, my natural... You're working outside of the parameter of the natural. You're working with spiritual stuff now. See, when you make a decision to fear not, it's not just a sticking your head in the sand and smile and be happy. It's not a denial. You're working with spiritual stuff. In other words, I'm not afraid for a reason. I got cause to not be afraid. Did Joshua have cause to not be afraid? Yeah, he did. Because the Lord commanded him, and I will be with you wherever you go. That's why you don't have to be afraid, Joshua. That's a promise. It's not an army. It's not a gun. It's nothing in the natural you can point to. It's faith. It's a word of God. It's a promise. They went into the promised land with a promise in their heart, an assurance from God. Here's another kind of scripture along these lines. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Now, what we find out as we get into the Word of God, realizing this is a spiritual decision, stuff comes at me. Why don't I have to be afraid? Why can't I be afraid? Why shouldn't I be afraid? There's reasons why we shouldn't be afraid. We've been given the Spirit of God. It's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. And this is really the amazing thing, because when you begin to realize what God has done in you in making you brand new and putting his Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and he's given you his Spirit that you can know those things that are freely given to you by God, you begin to find out a lot of stuff, a lot of amazing things. You know, let's just look at a couple of them real quick, and then we'll kind of get into it a little deeper. Ephesians 1:18, here's an example. Some of the great things that have been given to us. Paul was praying for the Ephesians. He's praying, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. He's praying that they'll get a revelation, that they'll know the exceeding greatness of God's power that works toward us as believers. That word power is authority. According to the working of his mighty power, in other words, the same power that works toward us is the same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, Christ, at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Wow. God, the Father, raised Jesus up with the same power that works toward us, far above all powers and principalities. We know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against powers and principalities and those things. The Father raised Jesus far above all those powers and principalities and gave him the name that is above every name. Praise God. Praise God, good for Jesus. All right, goes on in chapter 2 to say, but God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're talking about the decision to not fear. We're talking about it being a spiritual decision. There's a reason I don't have to be afraid. My Lord was raised far above all powers and principalities at the right hand of the Father. When I became a Christian, when I became born again, he made me alive in a way, in my spirit, that puts me in that place of authority in Christ. That's why he goes over here and says, I pray that you'll get a revelation of that power, that authority, that you'll get a revelation of where you're sitting in Christ. There's a reason you don't have to be afraid. Fear is a spirit that'll come against you. And in we've been raised far above those powers and principalities. Now, the way this works out in our life is, even though we experience that spirit of fear registers. You know, it would be easy if the spirit of fear was just something you could see with your eyes, you know, and know you're dealing with. But Satan is subtle. The spirit of fear will manifest itself in reasonings and hypotheticals and different things that could happen. You know, things that are going to get in your mind that are going to stir you up. Okay? And this is where, you know, we realize that the decision to not fear, it's a spiritual decision. It's not an emotional decision. It's not a mental reasoning decision. It's a spiritual decision as I'm comparing spiritual with spiritual. So as I'm comparing spiritual with spiritual, and I see that, man, this thing is, all of a sudden, my whole world is revolving around whether this does happen or doesn't happen, whether I'm going to be crushed or not crushed, and yet I know, spiritually speaking, that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, that there's nothing I have to be afraid of. I'm with him. He's got me. I am at his right hand. I am the sheep of his pasture. I belong to him. You know, I know that according to my calculations, okay? So these are things that I'm looking at, and I'm seeing these things that are true in the Word of God. But these are where it's going to be a spiritual decision. You know, we did a series recently on the Spirit, Spirit Within, Spirit Upon. And one of the amazing things that you realize if you've ever experienced speaking in tongues is, you know, usually when you pray, most of you pray from your understanding. You pray from your head. You think something and you say it and you pray it. But when you pray from your spirit, you can yield to your spirit and begin to speak from your spirit as the spirit gives utterance, okay? That's a kind of a way that you're yielding to the spirit. When you're making a spiritual decision, it's a lot like that too. When you see that the Word of God says, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, I'm not trying to reason and hooking up my reason. I'm hooking up my spirit to that. And I'm saying, that's true. That's true. I'm doing it from my heart. This is a spiritual decision. I'm hooking up from the Word. I don't need to get permission from my feelings before I can act on it. I'm acting on it by faith. It's not an emotional decision. It's a spiritual decision. There's decisions that have to be made that are spiritual in nature. And they don't have to come through the doorway of my, this is where the natural man is going to disagree. The natural man doesn't understand this. This is foolishness to the natural man. Unfortunately, we have been intimidated by the natural man from walking in faith because we feel like we have to play by the natural man's rules. We don't. You can walk by faith without the permission of your feelings, and it's not denial. It's obedience to God, who says, be strong and courageous. It's walking by faith and not by sight. Praise God for that. Your feelings will catch up later. And when you make those decisions, you realize, praise God, I'm walking by faith. I'm getting, you can reason something so far, but at some point when you realize and just see the obedience of it in the Word of God, it's like, I kind of do that with, I'm hooking my spirit up to the Word. And I'm doing that by faith. You can do random dumb things. Have you realized that? I think, wow, why did I do that? And it's amazing. You got a free will. You can do whatever you want. You might end up in jail, but you can do whatever you want. You got a free will. But in the same way you can do spontaneous dumb things, you can do spontaneous good things. You can go against the roars in your head, and you can go, you just spontaneously do what's right. You can just do the right thing without permission, just because it's the right thing. You're doing it by faith. But it's a spiritual decision. In other words, the way I make decisions is going to be different. I'm not coming to a conclusion that gives me permission to do something. I'm seeing something in the Word of God, and I'm declaring it, and I'm obeying it, and that's the way, that's my basis for why I do it. When a pilot, I've heard this a lot of times, when they're flying in a plane, sometimes they can experience something called vertigo. They're flying their plane, and according to them, according to their orientation of the little bubble in their head, they think that they're flying straight. They think they're above the clouds. They can't see the earth. They're flying above. But the instrument panel says the horizon line's going off, and so they got to get that plane in line with the horizon line. And their feelings are thinking, oh, no. This can't be right, But you're getting that thing in line with the horizon line, and then, you're even though your feelings tell you that's not the center, that instrument panel's right. That instrument panel's true. And if you get a young pilot that just can't trust the instrument panel, I feel like I'm straight, and you break through the clouds and you go straight down because you weren't straight. The promises of God, when you're making spiritual decisions, are like that. And you're looking at the instrument panel of those promises, and the promises are saying, you're afraid, and you feel like you're being responsible, and the Word of God says, fear not, be careful for nothing. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in all, in everything, pray. Let your request be made known unto me. I got to pray right now. I got to let my request. I don't feel like praying. It doesn't matter that I don't feel like praying. I don't feel spiritual. It doesn't matter that I don't feel spiritual. It's what the Word of God says. It's a spiritual decision. And when I say a spiritual decision, I also mean that you don't have to feel spiritual to be spiritual. You're just doing it because that's the Word. You go against the grain of needing to feel spiritual. That's faith, because the Word has said it. And that's good enough. Your feelings will catch up later. But when I'm feeling that fear, and I think I'm straight, and it's just, no, that instrument, that these promises of God, I've been raised far above. I don't have to be afraid. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I haven't been given a spirit of fear. I'm not going there. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. I might take authority in the name of Jesus. There may be different things that I do in Jesus' name to deal with that. But I'm not going there. I'm going to keep that plane straight. And the other thing, too, that we got to realize is that Jesus told us that, Jesus told us that there would be days like this. We'll put it that way. John 16:33, he said, I've told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation, trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So Jesus tells us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So we kind of know that going into this deal. I'm not going into this spiritual life living for God thinking that everything is going to go perfect all the time, that I'm not going to be attacked, that I'm not going to have things that are going to leave me wondering, what was that all about? Jesus said, that's going to happen. He said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's the faith that's undaunted by the tribulation, the faith that stands on the promises of God. I remember it was a few years back, Julie was going to visit our grandkids in Tulsa, and it was, I think, the flight from Minneapolis to Tulsa where the pilot got on the, on the speaker and said, just a heads up, folks, there's going to be some turbulence, over the next little patch here, next, 20, 30 minutes or whatever, And she said, sure enough, there was. And when you're flying and all of a sudden you feel that, it's like the plane is going like this at 30,000 feet. That's unsettling, But the pilot warned and said, there is going to be turbulence. It's still uneasy. It doesn't feel good, but you knew that was coming. And when you've got, you know, grandma who wants to see those grandkids on the other side, you're going to go through that turbulence, you know, and you're not going to be daunted by it because you're going to get to the other side and see those grandkids. You know, that didn't make her want to turn around and go back. There's going to be things that God calls us to that there's going to be turbulence. But the pilot warned us, there's going to be some turbulence here and there, but that's okay. I've overcome the world. There's nothing you're dealing with that isn't common to man that I haven't overcome that you can't overcome. Now, that might seem hard to believe sometimes when you're dealing with certain things. And this is really where I want to get to, especially this morning. Because the decision to fear not isn't just a spiritual decision. It's a personal decision. A lot of the stuff that I've even shared this morning about our authority in Christ and what we have, and that's all great. But I've learned through the years that having a victorious faith theology is not what makes me victorious. There's a spiritual decision to act on what I know, but there is a personal decision that comes down to you. It's you. It's great to be part of a church that believes in the authority of the believer, the authority of Jesus' name, but when it comes to the decision to fear not, nobody can make that decision for you. Nobody could make the decision for you to receive Jesus. You had to make that decision yourself. Nobody can make the decision for you to fear not. This is where the decision becomes personal. The scripture says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's the spirit we've got. That spirit of craving and cringing and fawning fear. That's the way you feel when you're under that spirit of fear. You just feel like there's no way out. You're stuck. I remember one of the ways I experienced this just as a kid. I played Little League, and when I was a 10-year-old, you know, I'm the little guy then, it's 10, 11, and 12, I was a great fielder. Man, I could catch anything that you would hit at me. That's really why I liked to play a lot, but I did not like batting. I was afraid of the ball. I was afraid of getting beaned, okay? You know, it was kind of another level. This is overhand, fast pitch, and, you know, it's like, oh, just... And, you know, I had a near zero batting average, I remember, that year. It was bad. And I was batting ninth, rightfully so. It was my fielding skills that really kept me on the roster at all. But, again, I was the rookie. I was 10 years old and whatnot. When I was 10, but it was one game. It was kind of toward the end of the year. We were playing a team called the Yankees. And they had a pitcher on the Yankees who was a 12-year-old, a really big, big guy, big dude. And the guy was the fastest pitcher in the whole league. And I'm going, oh, Lord, I don't want to get up to bat. You know, because it was the last inning, and I'm hoping, you know, I don't want to. You know, this is really bad, but I'm just talking about when you get a spirit of fear, cowardice, craving, and cringing, and fawning fear, that's kind of what it does to you. It's like, oh, you know, coach, put me out on the field, but I don't want to go up to the plate. And this guy's just zipping them fast. And so, you know, somebody got a hit or something. I ended up having to get up to bat. So I got up to bat, and I think it was probably the second or the third pitch. It was pretty soon. But he threw I'm a left-hander, and he threw a really fast inside pitch, and he nailed my right shin. And just took my feet out from under me. And I'm in pain, and I'm like literally bleeding under the skin from this hit. And to this day, I still have pigmentation from that bean that I got when I was 10 years old. And my first thought was, I knew it. Oh, I knew it. Oh, this happened. You have to be the fastest pitcher. And, you know, and I just remembered that, you know, just that night, kind of nursing it and getting it back, and And it was kind of the end of the, it was the end of the Little League year. And I remember the next year I was, you know, I was going to be 11. So I was going to be kind of my second year in Little League. And I'm telling you what, we human beings, you ever wonder why the enemy, you know, the scripture says, you know, Lord, what is man that you are so mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? I've often wondered that, what is man that you are mindful of the devil? Why does the devil take so much time with us? Why are we such a big deal? Why does he play on us so bad, big? You know why? You are created in the image of Almighty God, and you have a free will in the earth. You're the best game in town. If you're a demon spirit looking for expression in the earth, there's nothing better than a human being. There's a reason why he wars. He wants the influence of your body and your thinking so you can do his will in the earth. That's why he wants you to be afraid so he can control you and get his will be done on earth instead of the Father's will be done. That's the broader objective here. You got to kind of see the big picture of this. But when you begin to see that big picture and what he's trying to do here, you begin to realize that, man, there is something special about me. I have a free will. Sometimes we go, no, that's my addiction. And sometimes when we say addiction, we feel like we're talked out of our free will to choose anymore. You have a free will to choose. There may be some things that don't feel good, but you can still choose. You can still choose righteousness. You can still choose what is right. You haven't lost that. If you think you've lost it, that's a lie from the devil. You haven't lost your ability to choose. You can choose. And I remember, and this sometimes is what happens with fear, seeing myself as the coward, craving, cringing, fawning fear guy when it comes to going to bat. And there was something about me that just, I got mad at that. Because every time I'd get up to bat, I was afraid of that ball. And I just made a decision. I said, I am not going to be afraid of that ball anymore. I got the bat. I got the revelation that I got a bat. I'm not just up there dodging baseballs. I got a bat in my hand. That ball has more reason to be afraid than I do. And when I'm talking about a personal decision, we have the name of Jesus far above powers and principalities and that. Yeah, that's all good. We need that. We need to know our theology. But at some point, you got to realize you have a bat in your hand. You got something. That's your name. That name belongs to you. You got that authority. It's your authority. And you're going to make a decision to fear not. You're going to make a decision to stand up to the plate and hit away. It's a decision you can make of your will. The natural man would say, I have to go through all this and I got to convince and feeling. The spiritual man doesn't have to go through all natural man requirement stuff. You can operate as a spiritual. We're not supposed to operate as mere men in the earth. We're supposed to be spiritual men and women. We're raising up and we're making spiritual decisions and we're realizing, I got this. That year, I batted 500. I had the best batting average on our team. And it was an amazing switch. All it was a decision. I decided I'm not going to be afraid of that ball. Did I still have to duck at times? I'd go, yeah, I did duck at times, but it made me more resolved. I want you. I want that ball. I'm just saying, there's an attitude that you got to get when you begin to walk in this stuff. Because and this is kind of the place, I love this scripture in Hebrews, says, for God has said, I will never leave you, I will never fail you, I'll never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, or then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I have no fear. What can man do to me? Do you understand? When you realize that's your authority, you got that. That belongs to you. Here's a testimony that I remember here, and this is from Kenneth Hagin. He had a vision where he relates where the Lord appeared to him in a vision. He talked to him for about an hour and a half about devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of the vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or elf ran between Jesus and me and spread something like smoke, screen, or dark cloud. Then this demon began jumping up and down, crying in a shrill voice, yakety yak, yak, yak. I couldn't see Jesus or understand what he was saying. Through this entire experience, Jesus was teaching me something. And if you'll be attentive, you'll find the answer here to many of things that have troubled you. I couldn't understand why Jesus allowed the demon to make such a racket. I wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the demon so I could hear what he was saying. I waited a few moments, but Jesus didn't take any action against the demon. Jesus was still talking, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And I needed to, because he was giving me instructions concerning the devil, demons, and how to exercise authority. I thought to myself, doesn't the Lord know I'm not hearing what he wanted me to hear? I needed to hear that. I'm missing it. I almost panicked. I became so desperate, I cried out, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop. The minute I said that, the little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt, and the black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining like a whipped pup. He wouldn't look at me. Not only shut up, but get out of here in Jesus' name. I commanded, he ran off. The Lord knew exactly what was on my mind. I was thinking, why didn't he do something about that? Why did he permit it? Jesus looked at me and said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. That came as a real shock to me. It astounded me. I replied, Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? He replied, no, if you hadn't done anything about that, I couldn't have. I went through this with him four times. He was empathetic about it, saying, no, I didn't say I wouldn't have, I couldn't have. No, I said, dear Lord, I can't accept that. I've never preached anything like that in my life. He goes on to show him in the different places of Scripture where he gave man the authority to take authority over the devil. That he is not, and this is such an important thing. I mean, I remember reading the story and thinking, really? Because when he says he can't, you got to understand the broader, the conditioned context of it. It's not that God didn't have the power to do it. Certainly God had the power to do it if he wanted to do it. But you understand, in the same way God couldn't make you get saved. Do you understand that? Now, does God have the ability to make us robots and make us? Yeah, he can do that. But God, according to our free will, conditioned free will in a way that he restricted himself about how he will and will not interfere with man's free will. He won't make you get saved. You can hear the gospel, you can hear things, but at some point, you got to reach out and do that. There's other areas in the Word of God, too, where you have a free will, and God has conditioned his interaction with you to obey what he's told you to do. He doesn't make you get saved. He doesn't make you obey his word. You got to choose to obey his word. In this story, I'm telling you what, this story the Lord has brought back to my heart at times because, and then he kind of walks through the New Testament. There was basically four areas where you're seeing that. In James, the scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right? And we also see in the scripture, and this is 1 Peter 5, therefore humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There is an adversary. You have to resist him. And Jesus said clearly, he said, those that follow me, believers, will cast out devils. You're going to resist the devil. The Apostle Paul said, give no place to the devil. You. Now, this is where you got to, in your heart, get this. This is where I had to get it in my heart. Because I have been in places where I have been getting beat up by the enemy. And thinking, doesn't God know? Can he see? I've tried. I've prayed. And there's some times where God is calling you to raise up in Jesus' name and take authority to resist him steadfast in the faith. There are times where that confusion is there, and I'm dealing with the confusion of a demon spirit like a natural man. And I'm trying to work through things mentally, emotionally, and different things like that. It's a spiritual decision, and it's a personal decision. And there's a thing where I don't have to feel spiritual. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that reasoning. The scripture says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not natural, but they are powerful through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the word of God. When the spiritual man compares spiritual with spiritual, and he hears a reasoning in his head that's exalted above the knowledge of God, he goes, that doesn't calculate. Got to cast that one down. I'm a spiritual man comparing spiritual with spiritual. That has no authority. and I resist anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. I examine the reasoning in my head, and I say, what trajectory, where is that bringing me toward? Is that bringing me toward life, or is it bringing me toward death? And I take authority in Jesus' name. But this is where I'm having to stand up. I got to swing that bat. My mom can't swing the bat. My dad can't swing the bat. My pastor can't swing the bat. I got to swing the bat. I got to do that. I got to believe this stuff is real. It's not good enough to have the powerful authority theology. I got to step up to the plate and swing it. If I'm going to make a decision to fear not, it's got to be my decision. I got to choose that. I choose to fear not. I believe the word of God is true. Something happens when you do that. You change the whole structure. Because over here, you're kind of fighting things and feeling, and your emotions are so attached to your ups and downs. Over here, I'm not about that. Lord, I'm just going after your word. You said, you commanded me to fear not. I fear not. I'm going after your word. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through the same stuff. Everything's common to man. Satan isolates you, makes you think you're a weird case, oddball. You're not. It's the same stuff that everybody's going through. But here we also see casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Powerful ways that we resist the enemy, we on purpose cast those cares. In other words, if I've got stuff in my head, in other words, it's not, there could be things and concerns that I have, all right, that I can pray about and say, Father, show me what to do here. Show me what to do there. This is a concern. This is a care. And I ask you for guidance. And you can pray about things you don't know, all right? And when you pray, the Bible says, the peace of God that passes your understanding will secure your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But here's the key thing. When you pray, when you stand your ground, when you resist the devil, our mind does not go in neutral as we're listening for the next thing. This is where we can miss it. When we take authority in the name of Jesus and we take authority over that thing, that's what is it? Philippians 4, 7, 4, 8 says, now, you know, set your mind on, meditate on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. When I've taken that authority in the name of Jesus, I'm going true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. The wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy and good fruits. It's going to sound like that. That's what I'm listening for. But you begin to recognize that spirit of fear. You just recognize it's not from God. It's not from God. And so when you begin to take that authority, you begin to stand up, take that authority in Jesus' name, you begin to realize. And that's the example that Jesus gave us. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered them and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus did that. He said, it is written in the face of that roar of the enemy. It is written. He took that authority in the name of Jesus. And this is where we've got to understand, because I have been in those places where Kenneth Hagin is talking about in this vision. It's like Jesus is trying to say something. Can he tell? Can he tell? Why won't he do something about that? We have something to do. You understand, on this side of the cross, before Jesus died, your sins were not paid for. On this side of the cross, your sins are paid for. The work is done. On this side of the cross, powers and principalities were not spoiled and made a show of openly. On this side of the cross, Jesus destroyed powers and principalities and made a show of them openly. Our interaction with the devil is much different than it was in the Old Testament. This is a new covenant based on better promises with better authority over the devil and more responsibility than it was in the Old Covenant. We have a responsibility to resist the devil. There's a responsibility to say no in Jesus' name, where we have to take that stand. And it's a personal decision that you make. But that place where I've been, say, God, doesn't God understand? I love God. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do things. And God is calling you. He's calling you to take authority in the Spirit. I want to feel better. God doesn't want you to feel better. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free from the oppression of that spirit. You'll feel better later. After you hit that ball, after you feel that ball come off the bat and there's deliverance from that thing, then you can jump up and down. But in the moment, Jesus said, I'll have turbulence, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You can step up to the plate. You can swing it. You can make that decision to fear not. It is a decision. And it's a decision that only you can make. And if you're ever feeling like you're in that place, doesn't God understand? Check your heart. Check your heart. This story has made me check my heart. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was out in one of his missionary journeys, there was a woman who was possessed of the demon who was saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, come to show us the way of salvation," saying it in a demonic, mocking way. And the Bible says, after many days, Paul just got agitated and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave her." He got frustrated by that spirit and took authority over it. That was the same with Kenneth Hagin. There was a point that he got frustrated. He said, "I want to hear it in Jesus' name." There comes a point where you get frustrated with playing the fear game and you know you're a spiritual person. You have this theology. I'm going to use it. I'm going to step up to the plate and use it. I'm taking authority in Jesus' name. And that's kind of what happened to me, like I said, in my second year of baseball. I didn't like being the cowardly, cringing fear guy, not wanting to get beaten. I decided, no, I was frustrated. There's a frustration that makes you stand up and say, "No, that's not me." It's not really so much even a personal decision. There's an identity decision that goes on with that. That's not who I am. It's not who I am. It's not how I see myself. It's a personal decision. It's a spiritual decision. I got to know what belongs to me in Christ. But I also have to step up to the plate and realize this is a spiritual decision. This is a decision that I have to make, that I am trusting in the power of that name. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, that I don't have to lean to my own understanding. I don't have to put pressure on myself to have to figure everything out. But you've given us weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, natural, mental, but that are powerful through you, Jesus. They're powerful by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God to stand up to things, by faith in the name of Jesus, to not allow the personality of some demon spirit to steal our personality, to steal our passion, to steal who we are and have to conform to some personality that we aren't even. We can take authority over every power, every principality. We've been raised far above that in Christ. We thank you that we don't have to put up with anything. We don't have to put up with anything from the enemy's kingdom. We don't belong to him. We belong to you, Jesus. We thank you for the authority that you've given us in your name, the authority that you've given us by your word. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. I don't have to be afraid. There's a decision here. I can choose to fear not because I'm a spiritual man with spiritual promises that are backed by your word, that are backed by your name. I choose today. I'm going to step up to the plate and fear nothing because you are with me. And there is nothing that can separate me from your love. And so I swing this morning the sword of the Spirit. And I declare, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. I'm not going to be confused anymore about your character, about your love, about your compassion. You've given me the bat. You're telling me to swing it. And I swing it in Jesus' name. You foul spirit of fear, your power is broken off my mind. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. No trespassing. You are resisted. You are rebuked. And you will desist from all your maneuvers over my life in Jesus' name. Amen." Amen. Praise God. That's your part. That's what you do. That's what you have. That's your spiritual authority. And it's real. Spiritual things are real. And you experience a freedom in the name of Jesus from those spiritual forces and powers and principalities. Yeah, we wrestle. It's against those. And we've been given the authority in the name of Jesus to wrestle, to resist. Don't forget about that. Like I said, I'm telling off on myself. I've kind of become a natural man, feeling sorry for myself. And this is where really deep-seated spiritual victim complexes can happen. and you get angry at God. You don't think he cares. He's just, no, step up and declare your authority. He does care. He's given you his word. He's given you his name. Rise up from that place of self-pity and poor me. I have authority. This is who I am in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation with his name. That's who I am. It's an identity decision. I've been there. I've sat there. You can see people go down here, and it's like that yakety yakety yak. And all they got to do is stand up and declare their authority in Christ, because God has given it to them. He's given it to us. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that. Just trust that the Spirit of God just makes that real to your stuff, to your situations. Praise God.